ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're a church leader serving as a ruling elder or a deacon, but you also have almost a dozen other roles: sibling, parent, friend, biker, landscape architect, chauffeur, builder, grocer, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once. So let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you.
It's always a joy to be with colleagues, and today I get to introduce you to two of mine from the Presbyterian Historical Society. Kristen Gatos and Sonia Prescott are with me, and each have what I think you will find fascinating information for all of us. Kristen, Sonia, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to introduce yourselves along with what other information you might find to be helpful for us to know about you.
Sure, I can kick off. I'm Kristen. I'm the Director of Communications at the Presbyterian Historical Society. And you're going to hear a little bit about one of the stories from our collections. But I help tell those stories through various channels, social media, newsletters, blogs. And I also helped lift up the work of the great archivists that we have here at PHS. And we have one here with us, Sonia.
Hi, so my name is Sonia Prescott, and I'm a reference and outreach archivist at the Presbyterian Historical Society. And what that entails is that every day I work with congregation members as well as congregation leaders to track down information in session minutes, registers, or anywhere else throughout our collections.
Great. Well, welcome both of you again. As a child, I have great memories of going house to house with a little orange cardboard box collecting money for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. I was excited to learn much later in my life that there are Presbyterian roots to this annual activity. And I know that you know the full story, Kristen, and wonder if you can tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so when most of us plan for Halloween, we think about our costumes, parties, jack-o'-lanterns, and candy. But over 70 years ago, almost 80 years ago now, a Presbyterian minister had the idea of making this holiday something more special, a way for young people to help families around the world. From 1946 to 1951, Reverend Clyde M. Allison worked for the Presbyterian Church in the USA, the PCUSA, but the other PCUSA, not the PCUSA that we're in now. He worked for the Board of Christian Education here in Philadelphia, where PHS is located. He worked as an associate youth editor. During his time there, he published the popular Junior High Kits, which were the first inkling of the program that became Trick or Treat for UNICEF. The initial Halloween program promoted by the Board of Christian Education in the late 1940s called on Presbyterian children to collect specific items for war relief efforts in Europe. Those items were collected and sent overseas through the Church World Service. As war relief efforts tapered out, Clyde Allison and his wife, Mary Emma, participated in a parade in Philadelphia that raised funds for UNICEF. With Mary Emma's encouragement, the couple knew that UNICEF would be the perfect organization for Presbyterians to support. The 1950 Junior High Kit, a curriculum resource distributed by the PCUSA Board of Christian Education, featured a project for Halloween titled Trick or Treat for All the World's Children. The special interest that year was collecting funds for UNICEF to send milk abroad to children who would not otherwise have any. The curriculum suggested that children use paper milk boxes to hold their money or washed out milk cans with cuts made in the top to collect money. The milk cartons eventually gave way to the orange collection boxes that Martha mentioned just a little while ago. Mm-hmm. That October, Sunday school students from Bridesburg Presbyterian Church, where the Allisons attended, gathered and went out trick-or-treating in their Philadelphia neighborhood to collect donations in what would become those orange boxes for UNICEF instead of collecting candy. The effort brought in $17, but it was the first trick-or-treat for UNICEF. After the Allisons brought trick-or-treat to UNICEF to Bridesburg, the fundraiser caught on and spread across the nation. Soon, thousands of young people of all faith traditions across the United States were collecting funds for UNICEF on Halloween, a tradition that continues today. 2 years later, in 1952, Clyde Allison was installed as a pastor at Bridesburg Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, where the couple had lived. And at Bridesburg, he encouraged the children of the congregation to dress up for Halloween and collect money each year for trick-or-treat for UNICEF. That tradition, the Sunday school children going out trick-or-treating for UNICEF, continued at Bridesburg Presbyterian Church for over 65 years.
Wow.
And in 1997, Reverend Allison was honored by UNICEF at a banquet in New York City for his work for trick-or-treat for UNICEF. And ever since the Allisons and Bridesburg Presbyterian Church kicked off this yearly tradition, trick-or-treat for UNICEF has raised over $195 million.
Wow, that's amazing. I did not know a whole lot of that. That's fascinating. Thank you very much for sharing all of that. I think that what really hits home for me about this story is the impact that one, in this case, really one church leader and one congregation can make. In our last Nourish episode, Bronwyn Boswell, acting stated clerk, told a story about how a congregation created an overture that eventually resulted in a change to the Book of Order. And here we have a congregation that essentially made an impact for children all around the world. I think that can serve as inspiration for our listeners to turn their passions and their beliefs into action on behalf of God's people. It also occurs to me that it's helpful to have a way to keep all of these stories alive. And I'd love to hear from you, Sonia, about how the Presbyterian Historical Society really does that.
Sure. So one of the highlights of my job is actually getting a chance to talk to ministers about, and not always ministers, but sometimes church members who are really passionate about their church's history. And, you know, it's a joy to actually have those conversations with folks and hear their passion and their enthusiasm for their churches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we are able to do throughout those conversations is to point them to the records that help them tell the story of their congregation. So folks may have common stories that have been passed down about the first pastor or the, you know, different things that happened, the church's involvement with the civil rights movement or the Underground Railroad. Mm. And they're looking for information that shows that. And that's when they come to us. And so the Presbyterian Historical Society is a great resource for learning about your own congregation's history and helping you to guide you to where you want your church to go in the future.
Wow, that's great. What a wonderful jewel that the church has that I think probably a lot of our listeners don't know that much about and have really maybe haven't been able to appreciate all that you all are doing. And so what I hope to do is that as a part of this podcast, we'll also add a couple of links so that folks who are listening that want to find out more both about this story that we've sort of highlighted related to Trick or Treat for UNICEF, as well as all of the other things that you've both have mentioned that are a part of what the Presbyterian Historical Society, which I'm used to calling PHS, what you all do there and the stories and the way that you really keep the church alive through the telling of those stories. So thank you both so much for being our guests on the podcast. What a great way to connect our congregations with the larger church, both through ways we can make an impact and ways we can learn more about the preservation of these stories and part of the larger church. So glad that you're both able to join us today.
It was a pleasure being on the podcast. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.